Welcome to Criterion
Close Up.
I'm Mark Herney. I don't know who I'm here with, but it sounds like a 90-year-old Aaron West. Is that you, Aaron?
I'm here to talk about podcasting.
Is that your 90-year-old voice, or are you trying to do Bob Dylan? I was trying to figure out that earlier.
I have no idea. We'll see how it turns out.
Okay, cool.
It might be both.
Perfect. Well, we are here. This is a different episode for us. You're hearing a bit of Hans Zimmer from the soundtrack to the movie Rush. The track is Lost But One. And this is episode number 30 of Criterion Close Up, where we do a close-up of somebody. And in this case, it is some friends of ours who we know through this extensive film podcasting network. I want to welcome J.D. Duran and Brendan Cassidy of In Session Film to Criterion Close Up. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks
welcome
for
guys.
Having us.
Hello.
It's In Session Film. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Yes.
In Session Film.
In Session Film.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Emphasis on the S.
On the
yes. Yes.
Yeah. Great to have you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate the invite.
Yeah. It's been I've been able to guest on your show before, and we've done some bonus content talking about music. We have a love of music, and we wanted to talk about podcasting, this thing that we're doing right now. It's a little bit meta, so we figured you guys would be the perfect guests for this. You've been doing this for quite some time, so yeah.
Yeah,
you're breaking the fourth wall here.
breaking the podcast.
Little Wade Wilson for you.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and we'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. We have a couple of housekeeping things, but really wanted to get, as we always do, first-time guests, we like to get your Criterion connection. So, you know, how you first came to the Criterion collection, or how you came to international art house film, maybe a director or someone else associated with the collection. So I'll turn it to you first, JD. What is your connection?
Well, I don't necessarily have a specific connection to Criterion. I mean, I've definitely seen quite a few Criterion films, and I'm very aware of it, but I don't collect as much. And, you know, I really leave it to the experts, to you two over there, to kind of keep me updated on what's happening with Criterion.
Nice.
But, you know, when it comes to my connection with, you know, independent cinema or art house films or foreign language films, I first started getting into film and art heavily more so around 2003, 2004 when I was a junior and senior in high school. And it kind of started with Quentin Tarantino and then kind of expanded from there. And I became not only a huge fan of him, but a huge fan of Wes Anderson, who is featured on Criterion quite extensively. I'm a huge, huge fan of Wes Anderson. So, there's definitely a connection there. When it comes to foreign language films, actually one of the first ones that I ever saw, thinking back on it, again, because it came out right around the time where I was getting into it, was actually the Korean film Old Boy that came out in 2003 by Park Chan-wook. That was probably the first one I ever saw, and I loved that film, and it just kind of, you know, started to blow up more from there. And I started to become a huge fan of Hayao Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli. That was another foreign language aspect that I started getting too big. And Brendan is actually even more extensive with that than I am, but that was something that I really enjoyed as well. From about, you know, the mid-2000s to, I don't know, 2010, 2011, life circumstances kind of took me away from film for a little bit that I won't bore you with right now, but the details weren't pretty. But since then, I've done a lot as far as, you know, obviously getting back into a lot of that. But around the early 2000s in high school, I was a little bit more young and impressionable back then. And
You're still young and impressionable now.
Yeah, you are.
That's true, I guess. Except I'm kind of old now. But
we're going to impress upon you.
Yeah. So there's obviously a lot of catching up when it comes to Criterion and a lot of foreign language films for me. But I always enjoy it, and I'm glad to watch you know, what I can. So we're actually going to start a new movie series on our show coming up pretty soon on Andrei Tarkovsky, which is a filmmaker that I'm not familiar with at all. And I look forward to really jumping into that. So, you know, podcasting, as we're going to talk about, it's a great excuse for us to be able to do things like that. So I'm kind of bridging the gap there.
The best excuse, yeah.
Yeah.
Tarkovsky, it's beautiful, but drink coffee.
Yes. That's what I
keep
Don't
watch it when you're tired.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So how about you, Brandon?
So first thing I'll say is I'll echo drinking coffee before Tarkovsky, because JD, you and I have talked a lot about that offline. Yeah, Tarkovsky. Yeah. There you go. Anyway,
I'm here all week.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's interesting, JD, because you mentioned a phrase there called bridging the gap, because I feel like my connection with Criterion specifically might be kind of that gap bridge between what you were just talking about, JD, and compared to the extensive knowledge that you guys, Mark and Aaron specifically, have with the Criterion Collection, because I do collect quite a few of the Criterion films, not nearly to the extent that you guys have had so far, but I would say that I'm a fan. I've really enjoyed a lot of what I've seen, and it really has been kind of a great learning tool for me and really kind of branching out into, I guess, some of the more alternative films out there than other than what you would really get a chance to see on a normal basis. For me, it kind of started, I think it was 2008, 2009 when it really started for me. And the film that really introduced it to me was, it's kind of an embarrassment because I would argue it's not really a Criterion film. But that
Michael Bay's Armageddon?
No, no. I would, no, that's a Criterion film. That's a Criterion film.
I'm just kidding.
We dodged that asteroid. Thanks.
No pun intended. I'm talking about David Fincher's The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Because I mean, it's a film I've learned to appreciate less as I've kind of grown older in many ways, but it's a film that I think has one of the greatest documentaries of making the film that I have ever seen. I think it's better than the actual movie. And that kind of gave me more of an appreciation of what goes into the nature of special features and what goes behind the scenes of film and what the Criterion Collection does to kind of not only preserve that but really reflect that. I always thought was kind of interesting. So it kind of opened that door to really start experimenting with different types of film that I hadn't been terribly familiar with at that time. And go into more of like the foreign language route. So I was kind of like with you on that, JD, as far as trying to find some more foreign language films, whether it be something current or something old that really kind of won me over. Then I started looking at specifically French New Wave, which is really what kind of started for me. So I started looking a lot to like Godard and Francois Truffaut. And that's kind of where it started for me more than anything else. Then I looked to Swedish films. So I started watching a lot of Ingmar Bergman. I blind bought movies like Wild Strawberries and The Seventh Seal. Loved those films. And it kind of just continued to snowball from there. I started watching a lot more Akira Kurosawa. You also have Andrei Tarkovsky that you were just talking about, JD. Started watching a lot of his films as well. Ivan's Childhood, his first film, that war film, is one of my favorite films of all time. So just kind of kept building a little bit from there, and it was really, really enlightening for me more than anything else. And it's kind of great to finally talk to some people like you guys that really have such a devotion to it, because I feel like I can even continue to learn a lot more about it too. So I'm really looking forward to where this conversation could go when it branches off in that direction, hopefully.
Cool. Well, I remember you guys talked about The Third Man when JD was out. Of course, that's a big Criterion release. That was a great episode, too.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's, again, one of my favorite films. I still have the Criterion of that. I think it's a DVD. I never got a chance to get the Blu-ray of it, but thank God I got it when it did, because it's now out of print at the Criterion. Yeah.
It's a bit pricey now.
About $2,000 or so.
Yeah, exactly.
Only.
Only.
Yeah, I think it's like 200 now, is it?
So. Yeah, it's a couple hundred. But
we'll add that extra zero for emphasis.
Well, that was great. Thank you, guys. And again, thank you for being on the show. We'll talk more about In Session Film in a little bit. But, you know, just to let folks know, they have a great show where they review some of the newer movies and do some extra film shows, where actually recently they talked about I Saw the Devil and paired that with The Orphanage, kind of coming off of The Witch. So they do a great, great show. They've got a great rapport.
Very much, yeah. So, love their show.
Yeah, folks should definitely check them out.
A lot of newer films, and actually that's the one tough thing with me is I don't see as many newer films. So I haven't seen The Witch yet, but I'm going to see Deadpool finally. So did you do an episode on that?
We did. We did.
All right.
Nice. Just finished The Witch, and the week before we did Deadpool. So
I'm actually like catching up to you guys. I watch a new movie, and I'm like, okay, what are JD and Brendan saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Yeah. Well, unfortunately,
we don't get to them as much, but we do catch up with them and love to listen to the show after, see what you guys thought. So,
yeah, I think eventually we see all of them. It just takes a while.
It just takes longer.
It's not on the schedule. It's like you said, JD, earlier when we were talking, we talk about Criterion movies, so that's what we watch. So talking about Criterion movies, we did have the May releases announced last week, actually just a day late on the 16th, and we are part of the Criterion Cast Network, and so Aaron had the pleasure of joining last week for the newsstand to talk about those releases, and but we wanted to kick it to you guys if you had any thoughts about the May releases. I'll just mention them quickly. There's Easy Rider, the Dennis Hopper directed film, that's coming May 3rd. We've got In a Lonely Place, that's Nicholas Ray, from May 10th. On the 17th, we're getting one each week. We've got The Naked Island from Nakate Shindo, and we have The Player from Robert Altman, May 24th, and then a box set, The Road Trilogy from Wim Wenders, on May 31st. So just I'll kick it to either one of you. Anything you'd like to mention about any of those titles?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen any of them, Brendan. So go for it.
I've seen two of them. It's been a while since I've seen Easy Rider. That was one of my favorite films from my dad, and he showed it to me when I was kind of at a younger age when I probably shouldn't have seen it. But I've always enjoyed that film. It's been, like I said, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm excited to see that one getting the Criterion treatment. Robert Altman's The Player, though, is a film I really, really like. Of all the Altman films I have seen, which isn't as many as it probably should, that's my favorite one that I've seen. I think it has one of my favorite opening shots of any movie that I've ever seen.
Great.
I think it actually gives Shortcuts a run for its money, which is another film I own and really enjoy as well. But I really am a big fan of The Player, so I'm happy to see that one getting a treatment.
Excellent.
And JD, you should know that I know you like Phoenix, and that's coming out April 26th. Yeah. So you're in the clear.
Yeah. Next month I could talk to you guys about it. Yeah.
Well, JD, we also have Inside Llewyn Davis as well. That's already been released.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a stacked release too. It has hours upon hours of supplements. So I actually have not gotten to it yet.
Well, I'd be very interested to buy that version of it. I mean, because I just have the regular Blu-ray right now, but I could eat up 80 hours worth of content from Inside Llewyn Davis. I love that film.
From what I hear, I would buy it, and eventually, I think we were going to do a cast with it, and along with Bob Dylan.
Oh, nice.
But there's too many features, we just couldn't get to it. So we will eventually. But yeah,
nice.
It has a full concert. History. Anyway,
that's cool. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
There's actually and of course, listeners will have probably passed by the time they hear this, but there's a 50% off Criterion sale on the website currently right now, so you can get it for $20 from the website.
There you go.
Very nice.
There you go.
And we are recording during the week, so by the time people hear this, it's going to be 40
It'll be
again.
Over.
So sorry.
So. Awesome, guys. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Wanted to just mention briefly, we had our last episode, episode 29, was Fat Girl. That was with Kristen Sales. And we've had a lot of good feedback. We just wanted to circle back around to that and thank everyone for the feedback, what everyone had to say. She was great, especially. We had a little bit of an audio issue, as folks have heard, but through the magic of Aaron's editing, we was able to, downplay that a bit. And it was just a really great delving into that. I'll just mention a couple of things that folks have said. And some of the, you know, the comments, Aaron, I've almost been, I wouldn't say surprised, but, you know, it, there's more, even more love for Fat Girl than I thought. Like there was Seth Lockhead said just recently, you know, I love this movie. And, you know, we got a comment, great job, very thoughtful, from Leanne Kay on Twitter. I think that was a lot of what the feedback was, is they really enjoyed. And I think it was William, who's given us some feedback before, said, you know, please bring sales in more episodes. She is sensational. So.
Yeah, we're trying. She's great, yeah. And I've had a lot of private feedback, too. That just happens when there's a really good episode. People will DM me or you guys can tweet me publicly. It's fine. but everybody's like, I'm so glad you went deep and went into the disturbing ending and the psychology. You know, it's a very disturbing, difficult film that I think we covered well. You know, the audio issues, they're a little noticeable, but I think once you get into the episode, you can get beyond them. Just turn the volume up.
Yeah, don't let any audio issues keep you from listening to these guys, because what you guys did was phenomenal.
So. Yeah, yeah, I'll echo that. Yeah.
Thanks, well, we have audio issues every week, so, you know, there you go.
It's not stopping us.
Yeah, it's part of the process. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that was great. We actually had, this was really nice. I just noticed from FlixWise, I'm assuming it's Lady P. Here's a bunch of my favorite people talking about Catherine Brea's Fat Girl. Obviously a must listen. So anyway.
Thank you.
Plugging ourselves again.
Yeah. Patting ourselves on the back. And Kristen. She deserves it.
Yes.
And she did a lot of really heavy lifting there.
Oh, she did. Yeah. She had that weight on her back. She was just great. I could listen to her, you know, talk about that for quite some time. We'll definitely have to have her back. So the last thing before we kind of talk about podcasting, I just wanted to mention a correction from our Slacker episode. So one thing I've learned, Aaron, is to trust the West, being yourself, Aaron West, when we were,
okay.
Cole had mentioned, from of course the Magic Lantern podcast, he was talking about his Criterion Connection and about the Testament of Dr. Mabuse, and you had mentioned that the third film, The Thousand Eyes of Dr. Mabuse, was available from Masters of Cinema, and I had went in and thought I was correcting you, but it is in fact part of the complete Fritz Lang Mabuse box set. It is available from the UK. Of course, it is Region B, but is in print and available. So you can get all three Mabuse films in that set. So just wanted to mention that correction.
Don't doubt me, Herney.
The cheering close-up.
I'll cut you.
Nice.
I've learned my lesson.
Actually, that was a wild guess. I had no idea. But that's neat to know. But it's not in blue, so it's kind of still...
Yeah. It's still DVD, and that was the mental block for me. Is, you know, the other two films are on Blu-ray, and that one is in that box set and just DVD. So,
And a testament to how impulsive I am, as I was editing that episode, I bought the two steelbooks. They'll be here next week. So.
Yes. Nice. Yeah.
Oops.
They're beautiful. Nice sets. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's it for our intro. We are going to take a quick break, and we will come right back with our main show, our interview of the In Session film, guys. I'm going to pause here, and let's take a listen to really the best transition we can do is to listen to the In Session intro for their podcast. So here we go.
Get to the table!
Here's Johnny.
You're gonna need a bigger potion.
So serious.
I am right now.
This is a tasty burger.
Welcome to the In Session Film Podcast.
So that is the In Session intro music. I love it. It's a really good intro to the In Session Film Podcast. And so we've been talking to JD and Brendan. And didn't someone put that together for you, a friend of the show, JD?
Yeah, there was a friend. Actually, it was a connection through our friends over at Simplistic Reviews. They recommended a guy to me who put it together and did a phenomenal job. And it was kind of funny because then because of how good it was, I had a couple people reach out to me, and so I know he's done a few other shows as well. So thanks to DJ Valentine, he got some good work.
Yeah.
A couple years
yeah.
ago.
Nice going, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It really is great. I just I love that
thank you.
Intro.
Yeah, that's you did a great job. We love it, yeah.
So, and I'd mentioned before, you know, again, the In Session Film Podcast, they do cover new movies, and they also cover, extra film reviews. So there's a lot of content on their website, insessionfilm.com. You should definitely give them a listen. They are, I've always called JD the hardest working man in podcasting because of all the content that he puts together. Of course, he's the show producer and his co-host Brendan. I really don't know how you guys do it with all the movies that you watch and the putting of the shows together, organizing. I think people may not know who haven't done podcasting before all that kind of goes into this and the behind the scenes work. Aaron can attest to how much he and I are back and forth on Facebook Messenger and talking and all that. So you guys do a great job.
Thank you. It certainly is a constant communication between Brendan and I. And I've kind of gawked over Brendan, I feel like, a lot over the course of the last 6 months. When I first started In Session Film, I launched it with my best friend who I grew up with. His name's Nate Parsons. He's a great guy. I love him to death. But after about, 7 or 8 months, he had to leave the show. And after he left, I had three other co-hosts that kind of came and left. And it was a little bit of a frustrating experience to some degree, as much as I love those guys. But having someone who is here consistently and committed to this show it's hard for me to articulate how much that matters to me, because I love doing this. And so when Brendan came on in 2014, he started out as my extra film co-host, and he was wonderful. We built a great rapport with one another, had some great chemistry, and then at the beginning of last year, again, had to transition out a co-host, and Brendan stepped in as my full-time co-host doing the main show. And he was the first co-host I've ever had that went through the entire year from beginning to end with me.
Nice.
And yeah. it's incredible to have that steadiness there. And not just Brendan's consistency, but, the passion he puts in, the work he puts in, coming to the show prepared, having a lot to offer, and us going back and forth. It really took us to a whole new level last year. And at the same time, what he did with Extra Film brought that show to a spot where it kind of has its own audience now. Like we have listeners that just listen to Extra Film because they want to hear our takes on the independent films that come out throughout the year, foreign language films that we talk about, and that's what they're concerned about. And we've built kind of our own audience with that, and that stemmed from Brendan's input there, and that has just transitioned so beautifully to the main show as well. And then once Matt Oakes, who did our extra film for the first half of last year, he eventually had to leave, and Brendan stepped in and did extra film again. Like, his just willingness to do that every single week really, really matters to my heart. And it's, I can't say enough great words about Brendan and what he's brought to this show. He's become a great friend, more than just a co-host. Love the guy, and I will stop gawking over him. But what he,
Brendan.
I'm about ready to cry here right now.
I didn't really plan it to go that
Neither
way.
Neither did I. I'm not prepared for this crap.
But, what I think about it, though, it does, that he does mean a lot to me. And what he has brought to the show is just incredible. So I owe him a lot. And I can't think of him enough.
JD, you mentioned the C word, JD, and it's really like it's kind of like a marriage. You got to have commitment, to make it work. So
absolutely, especially with what we do, because like you said, we kind of do a lot. We do a main show, and then we have two films most of the time. Two films that we talk about on Extra Films. So that's three films that we do a week, and we don't have to do that. But we make it work, and you know, my wife is great at doing that, and Brennan's committed to it as well. So it's rare. Like I got so lucky. Like God blessed me so much with that. It was kind of like I was thinking about it. It's Inside Out for me. You know, that movie was all about going through the hard stuff to get to the good stuff, right? And I went through these hard things with these other co-hosts. Again, guys I love, but I went through that to get to the other side of the fence, and you know, that's why I love that movie, Brendan. You were my joy.
Again, I don't even want to say anything because I feel like if I say anything, it's just going to make me sound like I'm agreeing with you and that I got a huge chip on my shoulder now or something. It's but I appreciate all those words, man.
I think rapport and friendship really is important and shines through in a podcast. You know, if you're griping, well, actually, if you're griping at each other, that might be pretty interesting too. But talking about film and you know, Mark and I, we can relate. You know, we started doing this in August. Is that right?
August. Mm-hmm. Not quite through our first year yet.
We do shows and we crack each other up when we're not doing shows. And today I called him about the flash sale. it's a partnership and a commitment.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's why it's worked out so well for, you know, like myself and JD, because I still remember the first conversation. That's just the day that we ever met was. Mm-hmm. It was at a brewery. We just happened to be kind of connected through a friend of a
first
friend.
First date time.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, and our mutual friend was like, "Hey, Brendan, this guy likes movies like you do. You should talk to him." And we did, and I think we ended up talking for like 4 hours or something.
Yeah, it was a long time.
At least. But that's kind of how it started, and I feel like that initial joy from that first meeting that we had just even after, what, like 2 years now almost, that has never gone away for me. And I think that's one of the big reasons why we're able to put so much time and effort into what we do with In Session Film, because for some, it could end up feeling like work. It could almost end up feeling like it's another job, especially with how much you put into this. But for us, I never feel that. I always enjoy doing that, and I feel like a lot of that is due to the fact that JD and I just really connect in a certain way that I always look forward to talking with him about something, even if it's not movie related. I mean, this is why JD and I get sidetracked on our shows about college football all the time as well. but it's just that connection that makes it fun and makes it, I think what also just makes podcasting in general such kind of a thing now is that people just like to hear friends talk to each other and just have really get that banter that just feels so fresh and authentic, and they almost feel like they want to be a part of it. And I hope that we're bringing that, and I think that we're at least bringing that with each other. So
definitely you are.
And I feel like it's helped me grow as not just a film lover, but just as a person in general, because Brendan and I, we've developed such a chemistry. We think on a lot of the same wavelength a lot of the time. So we get into these different conversations about film that I feel like go to some really great territory that makes me think about the film more so than I probably would have before. And then that kind of translates to my life sometimes. You know, as much as I was kind of joking about Inside Out, that is a really great example of a film last year that we were able to really pick apart all those pieces. And not only was it, you know, great discussion between two guys, but it helped articulate how that film actually impacted my life in a real visceral way. And that's just something I never really had before. And to see that grow has been really interesting. And over the course of the last 2 weeks, I've had a couple of people come up to me and go, "You know, you guys need to let your guests talk more because you guys talk a lot." Which, you know, and that stems from this chemistry that Brett and I have where we can play off each other so well. And
for hours.
For hours. Mm-hmm. And we know what we're thinking and where we want to go, that sometimes you just get in that bubble and you're like, oh yeah, there's a third person here that needs to talk. Yeah. And we don't do that intentionally, but that's just the kind of dynamic that we have. And we have to be more intentional about, you know, oh yeah, let's bring in the guest in on this. But it, you know, but it's, that's a good problem to have though.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I do want to, one thing I want to throw out there before you continue, guys, because JD, you were talking about our, specifically our review of Inside Out and how we were able to pull that one apart as a great example of how we could do that for a film like that. We still got to give some credit to Mr. Josh Larson for that show as well. So, because he was on the show for that review as well. You know, Josh Larson from Film Spotting and Larson on Film, and he's and he knows his stuff as well. So let's give him credit where credit is due as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great show. Mm-hmm. So, I, you know, JD, you talked about it a little bit. I think I've heard the story a bit before, but you know, curious how you got started in podcasting. What made you want to really get this started, you know, coming to, you know, doing the website? I know you have a little bit of background, or probably more than a little bit of background in social media. And I think folks would kind of be interested to know, you know, what spurred you to, one, you know, get into film and decide to make this into a podcasting venture. And, you know, we've heard some about how Brendan came to it too and would like to kind of hear more about his film experience. But how did this get started, JD?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I started In Session Film with my best friend Nate Parsons, who I grown up with, and he was one of the bigger influences on me as far as getting into film and art, because he was into it a little bit more than I was beforehand. But like I said, I think we were juniors in high school. He sat me down and we watched The Shawshank Redemption and Pulp Fiction and a few other films. And that was kind of the starting point for me. And throughout college, because he was also my roommate for a couple of years in college too, we would just continue that and dive into film more. And then life separated us for a little bit, but eventually both of us lived in Lexington, Kentucky. And some previous years leading up to that, I was working in marketing and social media in my day job, and I was very familiar with developing websites, especially on WordPress. And I also have a background in broadcasting. I actually went to college specifically for broadcasting. And so all of these elements kind of came together as far as us being able to kind of put In Session Film together. But initially, when Nate and I were debating this, we were debating whether to do film or sports, because we're big sports guys as well. And initially, In Session was supposed to be a sports show. It was going to be a sports website. And then about a day into that, we're like, I think we'd rather do film. Like that, it just kind of organically went that way. And as much as we love sports, that's kind of what we wanted to do. So I built the website, got things going on social media, and because of my broadcasting background, I was able to, you know, get all the pieces together, and I was able to do all the audio aspects of it and everything, and kind of went from there. So that was kind of the initial setup. It was really kind of a bunch of random things that kind of organically built themselves up to a spot where we could, you know, voice what we wanted to about film. And speaking of Film Spotting, they're kind of a big influence in this too, because prior to us get going, Film Spotting, and there was probably one other show that I loved the dynamic. I loved what they did as far as dissecting film and art and, you know, what that meant to them. And they were able to articulate what was in my mind that I didn't know how to articulate. And so from day one, I was like, that's kind of where I want to go. Obviously, I want to do my own thing, but I want to be able to articulate how what I'm thinking, because they were able to take what I was feeling and put it into words, and I wasn't able to do that. And so through this process, you know, I feel like I've gotten to a much better, you know, point as far as getting to reaching that goal. But But that made me want to do this, and it, you know, and so I was able to talk Nate into it, and he, you know, and he came on board. But I wanted to be able to have a show where I could voice, you know, what I think about film, something that was very passionate to me. I had the skill set to make it happen from an audio technical standpoint, able to run the marketing and the, you know, and the WordPress site and all that sort of stuff. So, that's kind of how it came together. And a few co-hosts later, Brendan joined and haven't looked back since.
It's like nice. Spinal Tap. He's your, the drummer's, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that analogy.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't think that through.
Yeah. I'm not going to die.
No, you're a guitar player. It's fine. You're not.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when what you said, JD, I mean, just the whole, you mentioned film spotting and doing this, and it's really, you know, you can go through as a film fan and watch movies, but until you really kind of step back, and whatever the outlet is, whether it's some notes to yourself, whether you have a blog and you're actually writing, or this avenue of podcasting that we do, where, you know, it kind of forces you to collect your thoughts, reflect on the film, put what, you know, together what you thought. And instead of just putting it out there, you're sharing some of your thoughts, but also, you know, reacting and comparing, you know, to what your co-host and guests may be saying too. So sure. It really, you know, forces you to step back and think about it. It's really, yeah. You know, I mean, here we are podcasting about podcasting.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I never thought that this is what I would be doing. Like, you know, because when I initially went to school for broadcasting, it was for sports broadcasting specifically. But life circumstances kind of kept me from that. And but I still wanted to be able to use that knowledge for something. So when, you know, the idea that, oh, we could have a podcast, it's a thing that's growing, and we could talk about something we're passionate about, which, you know, in our case is film and art. When that opportunity came up, I wanted to take advantage of it. And like I said, it's grown me so much as a person over the course of the last several years that it's been, you know, mind blowing. And the people you meet on top of that is another thing. Like, you know, not only getting to meet Brendan, but you guys, which I would have never gotten to meet otherwise, since you guys are distance, you know, the distance is so wide. And or even Adam and Josh in Chicago, or our friends in South Florida, or all over the country, and even the world. We've had guests on from Australia and the UK as well. So it's been great getting to know people and have some of them on our show from locations I've never even been to.
That's one thing I mentioned to Mark, actually, when we were going to have you on, is that you kind of have an unofficial network, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be listening to some random podcast, and all of a sudden, they will say, listen to In Session. I'm like, oh, wow, these guys are part of it, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is like a big community.
It is. And that's what's, you know, that's another thing about podcasting that's fascinating is, you know, most industries are out to compete with one another, right? Like, you know, it's so funny if you follow like Verizon or Sprint on Twitter, like they are just bashing the living crap out of one another. Mm-hmm. And it's hysterical. But, you know, in our industry, we do the opposite. It's, you know, let me promote this podcast with friends that I adore and I love what they do. Like it's such a unique place to be. And, you know, I love it. So,
yeah, we really support each other, you know, through the tool that I really love, of course, is Twitter. I mean, I probably wouldn't have met anybody on the phone here, you know, with us that without Twitter. And, you know, we promote the show there and, you know, retweet each other. It just has really fostered that community of podcasting. I think you coined that phrase, Aaron. It's really true.
Mm-hmm. You need to take that little clip that you just said, Mark, and send it to the higher ups at Twitter because they will love it. We're going to use that in our marketing.
Do you have their address?
But,
oh my
but
gosh!
It is, I mean,
it's true.
You know,
we all network through Twitter. It's quite a connector.
Yeah, and it's really taught me the whole notion of networking through Twitter like that, because up until, like, before I even joined In Session Film, even back in the Extra Film days, I didn't even have a Twitter account, and I had no plans to really get a Twitter account. Kind of just shows how behind the times I was. So I you could say I've learned a lot in the past 2 years, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
so I mean, I'm curious for you, Brendan. You know, why podcasts? That was one of the questions that we had asked. You know, what really? I mean, obviously, you had met JD, and curious if you had any other experience or, you know, how you came to film and podcasting.
Well, I guess prior experience regarding podcasting was really kind of next to none. In Session Film was really my introduction to just the notion of podcasting in general. I guess from a film perspective, a lot of my, I guess what I had paid attention to previously was more on the YouTube side, more visual interactions to film criticisms, and maybe a lot more on the reading side. So I'd go through magazines or websites or blogs or newspapers. I was kind of more in tune with that outlet more than anything else. I was definitely in tune with Film Spotting at the time, mostly because I followed Michael Phillips of the Chicago Tribune quite often, and I got introduced to him when he guested on At the Movies with Richard Roper quite often. So his exposure with Adam Kempinar and Josh Larson kind of introduced me to that outlet specifically. But that was really my only real knowledge of it at that time, and then, you know, starting to interact with JD and then starting to get heavily involved with In Session Film, I started to this door kind of opened for me with the whole notion of what podcasting really is. And I think, and I kind of alluded to this before, but I think there's a fad out there now that I feel like people just enjoy listening to friends talk to each other. And it could be just about any topic, whether it be sports related, film, television, video games, whatever outlet that listener is passionate about, they can find another form of passion by listening to other people who are passionate about it. And it's a joy to listen to that. It's a huge joy to just kind of get that varying opinion out of someone else. And me personally, that's kind of been a huge door opener for me. But I think the big thing for me, though, and what I love about the whole notion of podcasting now is exactly what we were just talking about with the whole idea of basically creating a whole network out of this. I've met a lot of great people on, you know, social media, Twitter, more so in, you know, within our cinephile circle, I guess you can call ourselves now. And the thing is, I can safely say that I have met you guys when in reality I probably never physically met any of you folks, like in person or anything like that. But the whole interaction that you can have within this outlet and what this whole notion of podcasting can do, I could safely say that I know you guys. So when it comes to that point that, let's say hypothetically, I travel to, you know, down to South Florida maybe to see JD, and, you know, some of our friends from Simplistic Reviews and True Bromance are there. I've never met any of these guys in person, but when I do meet them in person, it's going to feel like I'm not meeting them for the first time. And that's what I love most about it. And I feel like this whole outlet of podcasting presents that. It absolutely presents that. And I think that's kind of the reason why this quote unquote fad kind of exists, because it really brings a whole circle together and just tightens it up beautifully.
And that's really interesting, Brendan, and it's very true, because I've done that, because I've met the guys from Simplistic Reviews, and I also met the guys from Cinema Jaw in Chicago.
Yeah.
And both of those experiences, it wasn't like I was meeting them for the first time. Mm-hmm. I know these guys. I've followed them. I've listened to them. I've interacted with them before.
Yeah.
It was weird seeing them physically for the first time. But
not just hear their voices.
And not just hear their voice. But at the same time, it's not like, hi, I'm JD. It's nice to meet you. It's not like that at all. You know, I know this person. It's easy to engage in conversation and hang out and, you know, because you do know them. It's quite an interesting experience.
Yeah.
Well, one thing Brendan said that I think is interesting is if you think about, you know, 10 years ago, we listened to terrestrial radio and we really were slaves to what, you know, some DJ wanted to play. And, you know, it could be talk radio. It could be music. But you really didn't have the selection. You just choose different content providers. But today, we can listen to whatever we want. And, and I don't know for you guys, I don't know about you guys, but I gravitate towards people like yourselves. And like Brendan said, not just film, but also sports, TV.
Sure.
You like to listen to people that that have a rapport. And I think and what's funny is the voices are different. You know, you guys have great podcasting voices. Mark, you're excellent as well. Mine sucks, but I'm working on it.
I love it.
It's great. Yeah. I'm kidding. But it's not like, you know, the old DJs are like, hey, you know, top of the hour.
It's authentic, I think, is the best way to put it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a new medium, and it's not fake, and I do like that. It's kind of gets to the core of the conversation.
Yeah.
Whatever the topic.
I think kind of going off of that as well, because you were talking about radio specifically, which I think for maybe some time, maybe like 10 years ago or so, I feel like the notion of, at least my experience, and I could be wrong, at least, you know, compared to how you guys have experienced it maybe more, but I kind of feel like the whole notion of, you know, radio listening was kind of, I wouldn't say dead, but I feel like it kind of backpedaled a little bit as new technology kind of, you know, overtook some of the airwaves, I guess you can say, especially when it came to radio listening from a music perspective, because when the whole digital music fad kind of came out, you know, everyone was downloading and sharing and, you know, and things like that. Mm-hmm. But when you look at our world now, I feel like there's a lot more interest in kind of a retro style of entertainment, whether it be music or just, you know, things like that. I guess a good example is, you know, how vinyl records themselves have had such a resurgence in sales, and I feel like that there's a lot more interest in something like that. I feel like radio is kind of another example of that, and I think one outlet that is taking charge in providing that experience is podcasting as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's there's an interesting merriment to the whole notion that you know millennials and even folks that are a little bit older are kind of into this retro style of entertainment that's kind of overtaking a lot of what we find entertaining these days, especially in the artistic world of film, television, video games, just in general. And I think it's another driving force of that as well.
And it's been great to see the whole industry of podcasting just kind of blow up over the last several years. I mean, Serial in the mainstream.
Serial,
You know, but not just that. I mean, you had the President of the United States on a podcast. You know, I think that says a lot about, you know, how valuable they are. You know, I like to listen to the Nerdist podcast too, and studios place actors on the Nerdist like they would Jimmy Fallon. Like, that's how big that show is and how big I think podcasting is getting in general. And there are other shows besides The Nerdist. That's just one example of a show that I listen to. But it's crazy that it's gotten to that point. You know, and it was so funny because Josh Brolin, when he was on Nerdist, he actually mentioned that. He's like, it's crazy that I'm here to promote a movie, but it's a podcast. It's not a TV show or anything like that. Like, it kind of blew him away a little bit. So, but that's how big that it is. And I think the reason people like to eat it up, it goes to a lot of what you're talking about, Brendan. And, you know, it's just so consumable. There's so much out there. And it's relatively easy to make. And while some shows, you know, have better audio quality, they don't have to have the best audio quality. People will consume something that they find entertaining, even if it isn't, you know, the best, you know, quote unquote quality or whatever. And I think that's just what makes it great is, there's just so much great stuff out there.
Yeah, there's wealth. And it's become the new medium. I think even though radio exists, radio actually, it's been fighting technology. It fought Pandora, it fought Napster, SiriusXM, and I think it's still fighting podcasts. But I think podcasts have taken over now that, you know, I listen to podcasts in my car. I don't listen to anything else.
Same here. Pretty
you can take
much,
it everywhere. Whether you're, you know, you're doing doing yard work or, you know, doing the dishes. I mean, I kind of relate it to. I mean, podcasting has only been around for, I believe the first one was 2004, if I remember, and it wasn't even called podcasting at first. And I think it hit iTunes in 2005, and I think back to, you know, the stories that Film Spotting's told, because they started way back then.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I kind of relate it a bit to the change of people cutting the cord with their television. And part of the reason that they're doing that is to, you know, one, to save money, but also because they have more choices, you know, for sure. for streaming their television. And I feel like podcasting is similar to that. I mean, you think about if you're into something, you can, you have a wealth of information, and, you know, whether it's entertainment or, you know, you want informational podcasts, there's something out there that you can listen to, you know, that you're into, and you can just download it, you can stream it, you can take it with you wherever you want, rather than only having, you know, so many stations that you could listen to. There's just a incredible amount of content. Yeah. It kind of surprises me that, it's, you know, it hasn't gotten bigger at this point.
And, I think it is getting bigger, I think.
And you can listen to it whenever you want, which is another great point about it. I mean,
on demand.
Like, if you want to listen to Film Spotting on the radio, you have to listen to it at a certain moment in time at a certain station. But if you listen to their podcast, whenever it becomes available, you can download it and listen to it whenever you want. And that's really what I do. I mean, I listen to shows, and, you know, that's pretty much how I listen to. In some Spotify, I listen to a lot of movie scores, but a lot of what I listen to is movie podcasts. And it's almost to a fault in some degrees, because, like, you know, I feel like I'm out of touch with mainstream America sometimes. You know, like, my wife be like, did you hear the new Adele song? It's awesome. What Adele song? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Like, yeah, this is not the Adele podcast. I'm with you.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm having to catch up with, you know, some of mainstream America a little bit. But, you know, it's great, though, that there's so much great content, and I can listen to it whenever I want to. I don't have to be at a certain place at a certain time. And that's a great point, Mark. It's not just television, but it's an audio format now, too.
Right. Yeah, so I mean,
it's
curious.
On television. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Aaron.
Well, it's on television too. One of our friends, Keith, posted his Apple TV podcast lineup, and he plays him throughout his house, which I thought was just super cool on through his TV.
Yeah,
that is awesome. It's nice to see your podcast logo on a television. That's pretty
cool. that's cool.
Great to see. Yeah, that's why I noticed.
Yeah, it does.
That was very cool. So, you know, and I'm curious, you know, for podcast, I mean, you've been doing this for quite some time. I mean, what drives you to keep this going? And really, I don't know if we heard what year In Session Film started. I'm honestly not sure. What year did you start?
We started at the beginning of 2013. So we are going into our fourth year of doing this. So
nice.
A lot of what motivates me really is, you know, it's two things. One, it's my love for film and my love for talking about it and really digging into it and, you know, getting at the heart of what a movie is. And I have to, that kind of comes with an asterisk, though, because the only reason I get to do this is because my wife is awesome. You know, without her, this doesn't happen.
I'm with you, and
she's great, and I love her for it, but since she is supportive of it, my main motivation just comes down to I love doing this, and I have an incredible co-host that is incredible, as I talked about. So, despite how stressful my week can be, and sometimes it can get a little stressful, whenever we get behind the mic to talk about a film or come on a podcast like your guys's, it's like nothing else really matters. You know, it's kind of like when I hold my boy. Like, when I hold Sam in my arms, it's like all the crap, all the stress from the week, it doesn't, it just goes away. And I think that is a telling sign for why I like to do this. It's just something that speaks to me. It's more than just a hobby. Like, it's part of my life. I think it helps define my identity. And I think that's why I spend a lot of time editing and why I spend a lot of time making sure it sounds great and that the content is up to par, because it is part of who I am. And I love it. I love getting to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of like football game day. You work through it during the week, and then you play the game on Sunday, and you just love the game.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
I love the rest of it, too. I don't know about the rest of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I can add a little something to that though, and I guess I'll kind of admit something that I'm kind of a cocky son of a bitch, to be honest. But but one of the things that, because JD, I absolutely agree with everything that you're saying as to why I love doing this as well myself. But I guess kind of the cockiness of me as well is what keeps me going as well, because and just like, you know, you guys, Mark and Aaron, because you guys know that you have a following. You have listeners that listen to you guys and love to listen to you guys, and, you know, proactively go out of their way to listen to your new show when you have it completed and posted. See, like, that's just such a great feeling, I think. And that's kind of another driving force for me, on top of everything that you're already talking about, JD, the fact that we love it.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of a double-edged sword when you think about it, because I love putting my heart and soul into this because I know there are others that really care to listen to it, and it feels great. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's kind of also fueled by my joy for listening to other podcasts, because especially within our cinephile circle that we keep talking about, so it kind of keeps scratching each other's backs, I guess you can say, and it's a never ending cycle that I don't want to ever end. It all kind of goes in there, and I think that's another reason as to why we work so hard as much as we do, rather than just, it's not just about the quality of the product. It's not just about, oh, we want to keep doing this because we want people to like us. That's part of it, and it feels great. But there is a level of joy of listening to their work as well, and it just keeps going on.
And you make a great point about the listenership, too. That really does matter. I mean, whenever we get feedback on our show, good or bad, it really does mean a lot to us, and we take it to heart. But when people comment and, you know, they come back going, that was a great show, guys, or I didn't think about that part of the movie, like, that stuff really, you know, makes me happy and speaks to my heart. So and the fact that anybody would stop to listen to it, I am so appreciative of that. So, because
especially for how long we talk,
we can go on forever. I understand that sometimes I can get a little bit pretentious. I understand that too. But the fact that people listen to it, it goes beyond words, you know. But on the flip side of that, that's also why I spend a lot of time editing, because if people are going to put 2 hours of their time into it, I want it to be the best experience that they can possibly have. And I enjoy that. I do like putting that in. I mean, when I get into Logic and I start editing it, I mean, that's kind of my canvas, you know, that's me creating my art, if you will. So, and I love it. It's great. So, and thanks to everybody that listens, it really does mean a lot.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, we love the, you know, the tweets, the comments, the emails. It kind of makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are very they give a lot of really great feedback. It seems like we've had feedback like people appreciate just the fact that we watch the movies, take the time to talk about them. Aaron puts in the editing hours. Thank you, Aaron. I think I say that every week. You know, but yeah, they appreciate the time that we put into it. And you have people that follow along too, that will watch the movies along with you. And, you know, they're looking at the schedule. They'll watch it before the show, or if they can't catch up with it, they'll wait, watch the movie, and then listen. And, you know, hopefully it kind of, it's a nice way to, whether you've just watched a movie or you are, you know, you've thought about a movie for a while and you kind of have your own opinion, you can compare and contrast, and, you know, maybe someone has thought about or is saying something you didn't think about. I find that every time, every movie I've watched, you know, whether, you know, listen to you guys, any other show, you know, there's always some new angle that you didn't think about. And so it's really rewarding that way.
And also you interact with listeners too. And I know you guys have done this and we've done this, solicit feedback. In fact, you probably don't remember this, but one time I did give you some feedback before, you know, probably about 8 months, a year ago, and you read it on the air before you knew who we were. So thanks.
No problem. Yeah. I mean,
but
we do that too, you know?
Yeah. And that's something I really do need to get back into doing more. I feel like we've slipped on that a little bit. And part of that is because, and this goes back to Brennan and I just becoming more aware of ourselves because we talk forever a lot of the time. So, yeah.
Well, and I think part of it also, not to kind of toot our own horns a little bit, but, you know, maybe we were definitely more proactive with that about a year or so ago. But, I mean, as the powers that be and the proactive activity that we've been putting into this, our following has increased a bit. So mm-hmm. it makes it a bit harder to keep up with everything at the same time. Plus, you don't want to single certain listeners out that may feel guilty that you read someone else's feedback sure. on there but didn't get a chance to get to theirs. And like I said, I'm not trying mm-hmm. to pat ourselves on the back by saying that our following's increased, but you know, it mm-hmm. does come with that territory at the same time. As you keep getting bigger and you keep expanding, you're going to gradually acquire more listeners, and that just kind of stockpiles on there as well. But I mean, Jenny, you are absolutely right, and I do think, again, credit where credit's due. I mean, because you really are In Session Film's social media guru. So pretty much every time that a conversation yeah. is had on Twitter with some of our listeners, I mean, you're the one behind that. I try and jump in every now and then, mm-hmm. but you're the main man doing that, and major credit to you as far as being so proactive in that and just keeping that Thank momentum you. Going.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, we get feedback on the poll or our top three all the time, and yeah. you know, I do want to include more of that in the show since we're kind of having an on-air programming meeting right now. But
I think I might have been the last listener to talk on the show.
But you know, but it is a great point because you know, as a fan, like if I reach out to another show and they read it on the air, you know, I like that. I mean, and so yeah. I can certainly understand that. So you know, and so we definitely got to make the time for that. But you're right though, Brennan, and it's great too that we've been able to grow a lot over the course of the last year and a half, and yeah, it's just been a wild ride so far, and it's a lot of fun mm-hmm. and it's been great, and I can't wait to see where it goes, and I especially can't wait to see my boy grow up and kind of mm-hmm. see this and see how that kind of influences him a little bit. So
yeah,
it's very exciting.
He's been on the show already.
Yeah,
he might be your next host.
Yeah, there you go. You can do in session kid podcast.
Yeah,
well, hosted by Sam. He joined us for a brief moment when we reviewed Star Wars Episode II, Attack yeah. of the Clones. He helped me reiterate my thoughts on that film, and you just heard him crying terribly in the background.
So you're yeah. a fan, Brendan? Okay.
sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, something like that.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. So it makes me. I guess one thing I wanted to ask you about was really how you feel this podcasting thing fits into film criticism, because there's been some folks have kind of, I think, lamented the, I don't know if we want to say the death of film criticism, but you know, you used to have your critics like Pauline Kael, and of course, you know, you'd mentioned Siskel or Niebuhr. You know, they had the TV show,
yeah.
Where you know, you had these really well, I don't want to, you know, not compare ourselves to them, but you know, this is what they did. They were film critics. You know, you
yeah.
have you know, Michael Phillips, who writes for the Chicago Tribune, and it's really branched out from there, where you have a lot of, you know, people can do, they do criticism on and they write on Letterboxd, they have blogs, they have of course this film podcasting thing. Yeah. So you know, I'm curious how you guys feel this fits into it, because you know, you'd mentioned Film Spotting. They started 10 years ago. We've come to this, you know, much later in the game. And you know, how does this fit into this kind of, it feels like an ever evolving film criticism world to me. I mean, what do you guys think?
I think that film criticism is strong. I don't think it's going anywhere, and it's very necessary to the industry, and I don't care what Ben Wheatley says, because it is something that needs to be there, because we do not need a Norm of the North every single year. those films have got to go away, and criticism helps, you know, bridge that gap a little bit. And at the same time, I think a lot of it will come down to the user and really what they're wanting, because a lot of the mainstream critics, like Michael Phillips, they get to go see the films earlier than a lot of other people do, and mm-hmm. and right. that can give people insight into, do I want to go see this weekend, do I, you know, want to skip it, and it's also good for the studios as well, because over the course of the last several years especially, they incorporate it into their marketing. You know, if Deadpool's at 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, you're going to see trailers that feature that rating now. Mm-hmm. And so it is crucial to the industry. When it comes to what we do and to film podcasting especially, I think that, again, it gives opportunities for the user to not only read, you know, what a Michael Phillips may write, but it gives them a chance to listen to other shows, other formats that will give them what they want. And hopefully we can provide some of that. But, and there's a lot of movie podcasts out there. It just depends on the dynamic you like and, you know, and what that show does. But, you know, for me, like, if I wasn't doing this, I would probably still listen to, you know, schmoes and their reviews, or I would, you know, read the review from the Hollywood Reporter or whatever. Like, I would definitely check out some of that stuff. But for me, I'm an audio guy and I like to listen to things. So that's where film spotting would come in for me. As much as I like reading reviews, like the way that film spotting, the way that Adam and Josh dive into movies, you can't get in written form a lot of the time, unless it's a huge essay. But the way they, you know, pick film apart, and I think all of that is fascinating. I think it's just another way of looking at film. It's another way of hopefully promoting films that perhaps some people may not watch otherwise. So I think it's great for the industry. Whether you're a small podcast or a large one, there's a spot for film criticism, and obviously people are eating it up because our little dumb show is doing pretty okay. So,
well, yeah, it really has become an audio criticism, and you're right. You can't you know, we've already talked a lot more than 1,000 words about
yeah, exactly.
If you see 10,000 words on an essay, you're not going to read that whole thing, but you sure can listen to probably five times that much on a podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of to jump off of that, if I may, because you know what you're talking about, JD, I think is absolutely correct, and or at least I agree with it. That I think film criticism itself is kind of a necessity, because I agree with you. I don't want another Norm of the North or something like that to just keep churning out over and over and over again over top of the, you know, the quality entertainment that we could be getting, because that is out there. Mm-hmm. I think as far as podcasting within the future of film criticism, if you will, is I feel like you can continue to look at it as like an expanding new genre, so to speak, of film criticism. So you can almost look at film criticism as
evolving.
Yeah, exactly. You can, if you look at film criticism as just music in general. So you've got some genres that might be more prestigious than others. So that's where you've got, like, you know, your top critics such as, you know, your Michael Phillips or you know, those at the Hollywood Reporter or the New York Times, like A.O. Scott. Like, you get those kind of folks in there, and those are the ones you might see pop up more often on maybe like a website like Metacritic or something like that. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that what is going on in the podcasting world is becoming less relevant. In fact, I feel like it's becoming more relevant just in its own way, because it offers different viewpoints and different opinions and different mentalities and on how viewers and how, you know, people just look at film in general, and they have their own way of interpreting things. So I think it's just going to add an ever-evolving diversity to the nature of film criticism. And, you know, you look at the YouTubers out there now, like JD, you were talking about the Schmoes Know podcast right now, who are also very much expanding in their own way, because they were just bought out by Collider. So they're even expanding as well. And then you've got folks like Chris Stuckman, who is also a registered reviewer on Rotten Tomatoes. So I feel like a lot of that is just going to, I think, eventually pave its way into the podcasting world. And I think you may see maybe some more active podcasts out there eventually getting registered accounts on Rotten Tomatoes and adding to their tomato meter, if you will. And because Rotten Tomatoes itself, I feel like, is a pretty great outlet for even bringing that, I guess bringing that open-mindedness to a collection of social media reviewing like that. And I feel like Rotten Tomatoes is a great example of that. But I feel like it could go that way. Just, it's not going to all be one continuous thing. It's going to all branch out and be ever-evolving in multiple directions. And I want it to go that way.
I think we need to make it happen. I think we should all be on Rotten Tomatoes for criticism. Let's call them when we're through here.
Let's get Matt Atchity on the phone, yeah.
So one question is, of course, anybody can podcast. You know, you can just record a Skype call, get a Libsyn account or whatever host. But what do you think it takes to make a good podcast? Say you're talking to somebody that wants to start one. What would you tell them?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think the simple answer to that is one, find a co-host that you can easily work off of and you can create banter with that you think will be entertaining and that you can certainly engage with. And the other thing too is try to figure out a structure or a format for your show that will keep it fluid and keep listeners engaged. I think you can really start there. Even if your audio quality is poor at first, I think if you have those two things, you can slowly progress on the audio and make the quality of that better as you go. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because like I was saying, I think users, at least most users, can forgive that if the show is entertaining, the host can go back and forth in a really great way, there's a format that that really works for you guys, then I think you'll have a solid foundation going forward. So I think that's the simplest answer that I can give right now to people that are very new to it.
Yeah, I think kind of adding to that, if you want to get into podcasting, and a lot of times when people want to get into podcasting or movie reviewing in general, they're looking up to those that they look up to, you know, whether it be a film spotting or if they go to YouTube, they very much enjoy watching the Schmoes Know or Jeremy Johns or, you know, a lot of those folks like that.
Or In Session Film.
Well, thank you.
Or Criterion Close-Up.
Exactly. I'm looking at the big ones right.
Okay.
I'm not trying to signal those guys out alone. But as examples, the folks that they look up to. Like, I feel like that. Don't let those be the reasons alone why you're trying to get into it. Like, you want to think, oh, I want to be like that someday. I think that's where a lot of them kind of get stifled. In certain ways, because they're looking to, oh, I want to start this just so I can get my face out there and people will start knowing who I am. Do it for the art, do it for the passion, because when you do that, it helps you, I feel like, kind of find your own uniqueness and your own voice in doing it that way, rather than try and mirror what others have already done and are continuing to do and why they are succeeding at it. So really do it for your own personal reasons, and I think that's going to help elevate your success in that. And also know that it's going to take a while before you really catch on and get people listening to you. It's not going to happen overnight. So that's another thing to look out as well.
Yeah, that was what I was going to reiterate too. It definitely takes time. So making sure that you're doing it for the right reasons is certainly something, you know, to note, you know, as you do it. Because if you're doing it for any other reason, that'll probably fizzle out rather quickly. And then you're going to be stuck and probably want to quit. So, you know, like, we don't make money off of our show at all. And that's perfectly fine with me, because I do it not to get paid. I do it because I love it.
Yeah.
And you know, going into our fourth show, I put a lot of time, a lot of effort into this every week again. And it doesn't feel like a job to me at all. Like, it's just something that I love to do.
So. Right.
Yeah. It's a passion project. Yeah. You have to do it because you love it. If you don't, then, you know, like you said, JD, you're going to fizzle out pretty quick and, you know, not want to do it anymore.
It's a hobby in a way. You know, think about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yep. And you have to be consistent too. I mean, whatever your show is going to be, you know, whether you're doing it weekly, you know, twice a week, like you guys do, you know, bi-weekly, monthly, you know, whatever it is, you know, stick to a schedule as much as you can.
Great point.
So that folks know, you know, that they when to expect your content, right? So, you know, you're dependable.
And I think you have to have your own voice. And in fact, one reason why we chose you guys to talk about podcasting is because even though you talk about art films and foreign films and mainstream films, you're different than ours too. So I think there's a conversation, and you have your own style and we have our own style too.
Yeah.
Right. You have to have something interesting to say. You can't just talk for 30 minutes about, paint drying.
Sure, yeah.
You could, but why would you?
And that's why you got to have you know, a great co-host that you can bounce off of. Like, you know,
you got to stop talking all this night, because I didn't say anything nice about you yet as much.
Well,
as
like, and here's what I'm saying, because if you're going to talk, here's a good example. I love our friends over at the True Bromance Film Podcast. Barry and Hiro are great guys. If they talked about paint drying for 2 hours, I could listen to those two do it. Because you know they're going to get into something crazy.
They're going to find something about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really what I'm getting to is, you know, because at the heart of that show, it's not about what they talk about. It's those two guys giving each other crap and them going into what they go into. And that's what makes that show so great. So even if you are talking about paint drying, if you have that, you have a good start at least.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to have an episode about paint drying.
We should try. Yeah, we've got a nice experiment here.
Yeah,
it'll be our shortest episode.
Probably.
Well, I don't, what do you think? You think we should wrap up? Or?
Yeah. I think this is a great discussion. I mean, loved hearing what you guys said. And, you know, and really like Aaron said, I mean, we both have film podcasts, but we do cover a lot of different movies. So, you know, we've kind of found our niche, and we come together. You know, it's great. I've loved being on your show for the Settling the Score bonus content that we've done. Talking
absolutely.
About, you know, movie scores and playing those. I mean, that's been a lot of fun. So it's been great to connect with you guys. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
You guys are great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, man.
This was a
really
blast.
Great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Really good discussion. So where can folks find In Session Film online? Where can we find you guys?
You can find everything about us at our central hub at InSessionFilm.com. So if you want to find the show or find us on social media, all of our podcasts, as well as other reviews and content, it's all there in sessionfilm.com.
And any shows you're going to you have coming around the corner? Any films you're about to see?
Extra film coming up soon. We are doing The Lady in the Van and Race, the Jesse Owens biopic. And our main show this coming weekend, we're doing 999 and talking about the Oscars.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's this weekend.
That's right. Those are this weekend.
Yeah.
I'd almost forgotten.
That's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just had, you just covered the Witch.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'd already mentioned the extra film. So good stuff.
Yeah. Which, you know, all pun intended, I guess. But here's the thing about this, too, because there's been a lot of conversation about this film online. But, you know, if you're wanting like your typical jump scare horror, just go ahead and skip that movie, because you're not going to get it out of that. That is an art film masked as a horror film. That's pretty much what it is. But I found its allegories really powerful, especially if you hate religious fanaticism. You're going to dig that movie quite a bit. So leaving that out there for you.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that one is one that both of our audiences would intersect and gravitate towards. And I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yep, definitely check it out. Folks, again, thank you for listening to Criterion Close-Up. You can find us at CriterionCloseUp.com. You can find us on Twitter at CriterionCU. And you can find us on Facebook/CriterionCloseUp. And Aaron, we can find you on Twitter.
AWest505. You can also find us on the Criterion Cast main feed as well.
Excellent. Yes, we usually post the show, and you can find us here and on Criterion Cast. And we do join the show from time to time. We've got some upcoming episodes. Of course, we'll be joining the newsstand from time to time and some new content coming out. So look forward to that. I'm Mark Herney. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Herney, H-U-R-N-E. I would love some more iTunes reviews. Share us on Twitter. Thank you, JD and Brendan, for your sharing the show online on Twitter. We really appreciate that. Would love to have more folks
give them
do that.
Some iTunes and give them some iTunes reviews as well while you're at it.
Yes.
We'd appreciate it.
I guess listen first, but, you know,
they're good.
Yeah, give us something honest. Yeah, don't just say you know, what's on your mind. Listen to us first.
Yeah.
But,
but five stars.
Always five stars.
Yeah.
And for our next episode, it is our gross out episode. So,
gross out episode. It's going to be a big one. We're planning it. We're going to have to talk about that clean rating.
Yeah, we're kind of thinking about that. I don't know what we're going to do. We will be talking about the Lars von Trier film, Antichrist, and we will be getting into some gross movies. So
Movies of all time. It's
that
gonna
movie.
Be...
Oh, boy.
Oh, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh,
trust
man.
Me.
You guys should also talk about Eyes Without a Face.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Criterion.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to that in a week or so, coming out early March. So thanks, everyone, for listening to Criterion Close-Up. And I'm going to let another pick from, as I'd mentioned before, JD and Brendan, or maybe they didn't, are both fans of Hans Zimmer's music. And so we let in with Rush, and we're going to let the Interstellar soundtrack take us out.
Pleasure, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, seriously.